Let me read to start with part of Psalm number 80. Psalm number 80, verses 1 to 7. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Psalm 80, verses 1 to 7. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh amongst themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now Jesus was very good with the scriptures. Obviously, he himself is called the Word, or the Scripture. It all originated with him, from him, in him. So, of course, he would be able to sum up the entire law, or the Bible, and I suppose the books of Moses, the Bible of his day, the entire law and the prophets, into two sentences. Love for God and love for people. So this is the summary of good things. If we were to sum up the scripture in terms of bad things, I suppose we could sum it all up in two questions. Why and when? The why question comes first. Very early in the scriptures, in the beginning, and the book of Job deals with it very much. And then, eventually, there is a movement from the question why to the question when. That's the experience you go through. Actually, the when question, it's actually more accurate to say, like the Psalm says, how long than when. Because when is a bit general and could do with simple calculations and mathematics. Whereas the question how long is on a more personal level, and it's closer to home, and it expresses the personal experience of sufferings. The how long question is mentioned clearly in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, but mostly in Psalms. And Psalms really give us a genuine experience of the people of God. I think about spirituality and prayer, it's really genuine, realistic. So if we start, if I go back and read verse 1 again, Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. So the psalmist is asking God to give ear, or to listen. Listen to him. So the psalmist, obviously the psalms are songs. They're written to be sung with music, but this psalm is very much a prayer. He is not just singing a song or saying a prayer. In fact, he is telling God, are you actually listening to me? I want your attention. And then he asks God to shine forth, to provide the light, the clarity, a clear path to follow, a way forward. And then in verse 2, It says, stir up your strength and come and save us. And the psalmist asks God here to demonstrate his power. And then he says, come and save us. So he does not see God as someone who is quietly seated on the throne, but as someone who is very dynamic. A God who moves, who comes, who stirs up his strength. Listen to me, God. Shine your light and show me the way. Show your dynamic power. Come and save us. Verse 3, and this is important because it's really repeated three times in the psalm. Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. So here the psalmist turns away from God, turns to himself and the people. And he's realizing that something is amiss. Restore us, recreate us, give us a new start, a new beginning. Restore us, cause your face to shine, and then we shall be saved. It is us who have gone astray and need to be restored back into God's presence. And by returning to God, we shall be saved. Good prayer so far, but then you read verse 4. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? Well, there seems to be a need for a pause between the first three verses and this verse, because the sentiment seems to change, as it does often in the Psalms, as the feelings are expressed. And there is a change in the human heart, and it changes from the start to the middle and towards the end. And it seems like the psalmist is going back to the beginning of the psalm again, as if it was not enough that he asked God for attention. He said, give ear to start the psalm, God, give ear. As if that was not enough, now he says it much louder. How long will you be angry at the prayers of your people? Why would God be angry at the prayers of his people? I'm not sure, but this is obviously how he feels. That's what he says. That's his experience. That's how he feels. He already asked God to listen, and he believes that God listens. No question there. He knows that his prayer did not end up by accident in the junk mail folder. It's gone where it's supposed to go. He asked God to give him his ear. He knows that God has heard him. That's not the problem. The problem is, I know you've heard me, so why aren't you doing anything? Have I said something wrong? Have I asked for something wrong? As far as I know, I don't think so. I pray for your light, your power, and your salvation. So why are you angry at my prayer? I know that you are God who hears prayers and answers prayers. So, how long? How long do we have to wait for your salvation, your deliverance? And it almost seems as if, because of his inner experience of anger, you can detect it between the lines. He almost as if he projects that anger to God, and he sees God, it's himself. That, you know, that's how he sees God. That's at least how he interprets the silence of God. It's easy, obviously, to interpret God when he speaks. Very direct. But when God is silent, that's much more difficult to interpret and understand. And then I read verses 5 to 7. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us strike to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. He says, we are people broken with sorrow. But not only that, we are broken and other people are watching and laughing. Is your God really there? If your God is really there, how come this happens to you and this happens? And here, the psalmist repeats his request from verse 3 again. Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. He does not understand nor comprehend the sorrow and the suffering, but he realizes that the only way out of it is if people move towards God. So he's come to the point where he is not really interested in explanation and rationalization, and I don't need to understand it. I just leave that behind and just move to where I need to go to. Restore us, O God, back into your presence, and through this relationship we shall be saved. And then I'll just read the last two verses of the psalm, verses 18 and 19. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. So at the very end of this song, this prayer, in conclusion, the same prayer is repeated for the third time. He says, you, God, you revive us, and we will be revived. This is the work of God, not the work of man. For the third time, we hear the same request. Restore us, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Save us, and we shall be saved. This is your work, God. So he realizes that something is amiss with himself, with God's people. It's repeated three times in the psalm. That's obvious. There's no question there. The real question is, when we come to the heart of the psalm and the heart of this prayer, the heart of the song, the question is, how long? How long? This is the issue. This is the problem amidst the suffering of God's people. How long will this last? How long will this go on? This is the plea of the psalmist on the personal level and on the level of the community of God's people. So can we learn something from his experience? Even when we pray for all the right things, restoration and revival, just because we pray for the right things, this does not automatically guarantee that God will give us what we ask for and when we ask for it. Otherwise, he would not ask the question, how long? How long is a genuine question of a genuine believer who has a genuine faith in God. It is the key question amidst the suffering of God's people. It is the thorn in the flesh amidst the patient endurance of the saints. You just can't get rid of it. Can't get rid of it. Some would say, like the Apostle Paul, today we are closer to the day of salvation than before. Others would say, like Jeremiah, another year has gone, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Another thing we can learn from the experience of this psalmist here, from his prayer and request that is repeated three times, it is futile for us humans to try to do the work of God. None of us can presume to be the Holy Spirit, and to do the work of the Holy Spirit, none of us can tell the Holy Spirit what to do. He's quite capable of making his own plans and making his own decisions. This is all beyond the light years away. We have no understanding, no knowledge, no capability to do the work that only God can do. Therefore, the psalmist says three times, restore us, and then we shall be restored. Save us, and we shall be saved. So let us join in with this song, with this prayer, with this experience. And let us humble ourselves before Him. And allow God to be our God, the Savior. Let us pray that God may do His work of salvation. Let us pray for His kingdom. And let us patiently endure until He comes.